You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay? Let's ride!
It's hump day.
It makes me want to go fox hunting.
Exactly.
But I wouldn't shoot a fox unless I had to.
Of course, it's the William Tell Overture, and every night is Western Culture Appreciation Night. Fantastic evening so far. And let's just get right to the races, huh? Let's just get right into it, because we have a couple of things I want. I want to just chill out tonight. I want to read more out of this Carlos Castaneda book that Rob Corrado gave me. Well, lent me. I'm taking very, very, very good care of it, Rob.
You better.
Very, very good care.
He'll fucking beat the shit out of you.
Okay, I am very, very reverent with books. Books are an amazing thing. Books are an amazing thing. They are living things. Okay, it's amazing. Okay, just printing. You have no clue how enamored I am with mass communication, starting with the printing press. Okay, starting with the printing press, the ability to get information out on a mass level. There's something about that. And what's even better, you know what? Fuck the printing press. Just think about what used to be scribbled and painted on the inside of caves, on the walls.
UFOs.
Everything.
Boners.
Everything. Just the exchange, the transmittance of information that takes place between the eyes and a surface, whether it be paper, whether it be stone, whatever it is, to be able to decipher markings and to be able to start projecting a film in your head, whether it be fiction, to be able to just, you're being told a story. You're going along with it. It's the same thing. That's amazing. Okay, that type of articulation, I love language so much. Okay, right down to body language. And of course, now that we live in such great technological times, podcasting is just amazing. I love listening to people talk. Certain people. I've unsubscribed from a lot of podcasts. Unsubscribed, given a lot of people chances. Like, really, like, they kill it. And you want to know what kills it? Of course, everything, every time, politics. Everything. And that's the reason why I loved Stranger Things so much, was because it was totally apolitical.
That's right. That reminds me. I got to watch it because of that Ronald Reagan thing. It's going to be like 1980s again.
Yeah. It's going to be 1980s.
God, I'm going to get so coked up within this next decade again.
Yeah. The next 8 years, because of Donald Trump, it's going to be like, what's it called? American Psycho. That's what it's going to be like. It's going to be great. Gordon Gekko, it's going to be Wall Street. Everybody's going to be dressing in great suits, slicking back their hair. They're going to be just going to just like parties constantly.
Everyone will respect and fear our military.
Every last person is going to be a successful type of broker. Everybody. We're going to have 320 million executives, CEOs. Yep. They won't have any employees because everybody's going to be a CEO.
Hopefully we won't be giving out foreign aid to countries we owe money to.
It's going
to
be amazing. It's going to be an amazing time. It's going to be the 80s again. It's going to be a tremendous time.
It is. It's going to be huge opportunities, tremendous opportunities. It's going to be great, I tell you.
Big league.
Big league tax cuts. you know.
Oh, speaking of China. Speaking of that, real quick, the interns were just telling us before that last week there was a lot of political activity on the campus of my alma mater.
Was there a cry out? There was one
big
today.
Or? Kristen said that she was explained what the definition of ignorance was and that she's Islamophobic.
Are you serious?
She was called Islamophobic.
Are you fucking shitting me?
There's a lot of very upset people. Because some people were doing a Trump chant.
Dude, that's bullshit.
Some people were chanting Trump. Some people were Hillary supporters. Everybody was, of course, hysterical. So there's never going
to... The only reason why I say it like that is because I'm probably right when I say you probably didn't mention anything about Muslims one time or anything like that, right?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's why I say it like that. Like, I...
There's
you should have pretended to be with them and infiltrated them and then got interviews... And ask them, you know, why are you here?
Yeah, until she outs herself somehow.
She voted Trump. Oh my God, she's a mole.
Really? God knows.
Wow, I can't believe that. That's a cry out. What are you kidding me?
We're gonna have a cry out. A cry in, you mean?
A cry in, whatever. Cry Everybody's... in, cry out.
Guys, did you guys see a lot of crying? Shedding. Good. They said yeah. That's so funny. People tell me, you know, it's, you know what? It's not funny. People are scared, Frank. People? It looks like a bunch of kids to me, no matter how old they are.
Yeah.
Looks like a bunch of unstable three-year-olds. It's because they've been made into unstable three-year-olds.
Yeah. And they're going to turn a lot of people
off. So forgive me. If I go out to the middle of town or something and I see a bunch of people protesting and people crying around, and I feel like... If I, you know, obviously it's funny to me. It'll still be funny to me. In some way, it'll be kind of fascinating. And, you know, when I see people get into it, for as terrible as this to watch, it's fascinating. Like, I push past any kind of opinion of a person once I believe that they've been totally just, they're just damaged goods. And I'm watching them in this disabled, emotionally disabled state. Where they're unreachable. Even if they're not out protesting, they're completely unreachable. You can't have a conversation with them where it's just like they have to show just this. No, no, no. I don't even want to talk about it. No. No, because you know what? This isn't warrant a response. It's disgusting. When they take those types of... You're never... ever getting through to a person like that.
I mean, there was pro-Trump people there, no? Or was...
I don't know.
They're not quiet, scared for their fucking life.
It doesn't... That's what I'm talking about. You know, this is funny. We've tapped on it a little bit. We can't talk about it every night, but I had to bring this up because this is just in purchase.
Yeah,
you know,
all right.
Which is funny because it's a college camp. I can't imagine what was going on in SUNY. SUNY Purchase. That must have been a disaster.
I got a call there for a
while. Probably all gathered in the theaters.
They'll be all right. They'll learn.
Quick, everybody down
fall
to the theater.
Into line or Premier Trump will have them put into prison.
Premier Trump.
Scheiser.
We're combining too many things. We're just combining way too much. But I want to get through a couple of these things. The guest, apparently, that I thought we had in the second half, Gypsy's father, Stu, is not coming in tonight.
You
so
you can interview me. You can ask me whatever question
absolutely
you want,
not. Let's go to Scotty Milan. Scotty just Skyped in. Scotty, it's so good to see you again, man, because it's been so long since you've been on air. People keep asking me where the hell Being Human went.
What's happening,
there he
brother?
Is.
Nothing much. We're just hanging out. So what's good, man?
Am I supposed to be able to see you on this?
No, you won't be able to with this program.
I'm looking at myself.
Yeah, but you're on the screen. We see you.
Oh, okay.
So... We see your bandana, man.
Yeah,
this is awesome. By the way, we gave you a shout out last on Veterans Day, and we want to just say again, Happy Veterans Day! Thanks for being with us, my man.
Thank you very much.
Are you? Can you get a little closer to that microphone or something?
Can you hear me? Am I good?
Yeah, we can hear you. It's just very faint.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I got headphones. Should I put those on?
Hell yeah! Let's try that.
All right, let's try it. Real quick.
Frankie.
Oh, that sounds better already.
Doesn't he look like a young... He looks like Robert De Niro when he was young a little bit, doesn't he?
We good? What'd you say?
Look at him. I say you kind of look like Robert De Niro a little bit when he was young.
I don't know about Robert De Niro.
I get that a lot.
Robert De Niro?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I get you know, Brad Pitt, Robbie De Niro, you know, shit like that, Tom Cruise, all the classics.
So tell me something, man. You were down in New York City today to take note.
Video?
Yeah, saw your video, took note of the protesters down there. So what'd you see?
Okay, so I was with my son, my 10-month-old son. Mm. The scene was so crazy down there, he was able to stay sleeping the entire time. I had no idea where Trump Tower was. I had no idea. I thought it was down in like Central Park West or something. Mm-hmm. So we were walking down Fifth Avenue, and then I see all the barricades, and I said, oh my God, this is it. So I'm thinking, should I even walk through here with my son? This might be dangerous, but it seemed pretty calm. Mm-hmm. They had all the barricades up. There were more people, tourists walking by taking pictures of Trump Towers than there was protesters. There was more media cameramen there than protesters. I think I counted 9.
Do you think that's because it was a work day? Wait, the protests.
They don't work. They get paid to do that.
It was at 5. I was there at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, but it seemed like all the big protests were happening over the weekend when people can take a couple hours and drive down to the city from Westchester.
What else do these guys have to do during the day that they can't do? I know, but why Wednesday at 5?
Absolutely, I agree with you. But at that same token, the video you sent me was like 9 people outside.
Yeah. So did you see the guy that was like painted and shit? Like he was all tie dye painted, yeah, and wearing makeup and everything.
He looked like a clown. Yeah.
That guy, the reason why I started recording was because as I was just kind of standing there walking by, listening to what people were. Whoa, am I there? You there?
Yeah, you're there.
Listening to what people were saying. I hear this guy start yelling at somebody, screaming at him, calling him a fat fuck. And I was like, what the hell is going on there? So then this guy's walking by, and I think he had his 2 daughters with him or something. He had to be like 60 or something like that. And he was obviously an immigrant. He had some kind of accent. I don't know from where. And he was talking about how he's a Trump supporter. Mm-hmm. And this guy was fucking him. That's why you got a big fat gut, you fat fuck. Go back to where the fuck you came from. And he's saying all that shit to him.
He's saying that to the Trump supporter?
He's saying, go back to where the fuck you came from. Like, something you would expect, like, a fucking redneck to say to an immigrant, you know?
You see? Dude, this is, it just highlights it. The only diversity they care about is just how many people in the room. It's like Noah's Ark. Do we have 2 people from do we have 2 people from every ethnic background standing
exactly
behind me when I go live?
Exactly.
That's the
Can
only diversity they care about.
Boxes.
Diversity of thought? Absolutely not. That's the only diversity that actually matters, is diversity of thought.
Yeah.
And they're out there just going with their Home Depot paint swatches, making sure that they have one person that that matches every color standing behind them so they can look like they're not an asshole.
It was pretty weird because, you know, you see in the news, and I'm sure right now it's already, you know, quadruple the people. I'm sure there's like 27 people now, mm-hmm, you know, but like it was pretty crazy to see that there was nobody there. And I'm convinced that it rained all day yesterday, so they ran.
Right.
Because these are a bunch of cowards we're talking about.
It's
here.
November.
They don't know what it is to stand up for what you believe in and to fucking actually fight for something.
No,
they're
way.
Not fighting for shit.
In a way, if they do march, they are standing up for something because I think they think that their meal ticket might be taken away as well. So there's that. But, you know, it's just odd to me. But it's November. And it's going to get cold,
right,
and they're not going to – it'll pop back up in
the
spring.
They're already dying
again.
Down. It's already getting old.
Because they know. Because they know Trump is coming, and if they're not – you know, if they're still out there, he will fucking lock them away.
So here's the thing. And this is funny. This is funny because, you know, obviously these people have the right to protest.
Yeah, of course.
1,000 – no one gets a bigger – red, white, and blue boner than me from seeing people protest.
Absolutely.
But what, look, you know what they're protesting.
And exercise their rights. Like,
exactly.
I just love that shit. When something is being, you know, bad is happening to you, when you have your rights infringed on or something like that, then that's great. When you don't get your way for something, so you want to go fucking stomp on police cars and break shit.
That's what I'm talking
about. That's something else, right?
And
so
it's
now.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was also going to say that it's not so much, you know, when Occupy Wall Street sprung up, we went down there. We wanted to see what was going on because
we liked it.
It was like, okay, this is cool. Maybe there's some people down there talking about and the Fed and, you know, this and that, and actually get somewhere. But, you know, with what we've been seeing lately between all the Black Lives Matter stuff and all of the – whatever is funded by George Soros, which ultimately Occupy Wall Street had a lot of Soros money getting in there. That was the first wave. And the one thing that we're seeing here is, what is this protest about? This protest is about people who are protesting the result of a fair election, of a free and fair election.
And you know what the thing is, too,
yeah.
is that – They want to call themselves protesters, okay? I would call them rioters. And if you want to go a step further and use very technical definitions, they are people that are threatening violence and intimidation in order to overturn a free democratic election.
Yeah.
That is the definition of terrorism.
Absolutely.
So, and this is coming from me taking anti-terrorism training in the Marine Corps. That is a definition of a terrorist. People want to say, well, when a guy shoots 10 people in a fucking mall and he's white, that's terrorism too. Like, no, just because it's terrifying doesn't mean it's terrorism.
Terrorism
has
a
political motivated
political
violence.
Motivated,
and that's exactly what they're doing right now.
Hell yeah.
That is exactly to a T what they're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's,
now, I don't think they actually understand the gravity of the situation, right? They're not protesting against some college professor that they can get fired. Right? They're protesting against the person that they think is Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This guy's going to be the most powerful person in the world, and he's going to be the one who has to decide how the men with the guns handle them. I don't think any of them actually realize that's how serious it is what they're doing, committing all this violence. I'm not saying I'm not saying he's going to fucking send out soldiers to shoot him.
No, but listen.
If they're talking about taking it that far, which they absolutely will not, and they're talking about there's going to be casualties on both sides, this little grummet troll
you
of a chick
that?
Was out
what,
there
what
with a piñata talking about casualties. Like, bitch, you have no idea what it means to try to die for something you believe in, and I guarantee she will not.
The thing that kills me is this. You know, right now we're saying, okay, you want to get this out of your system, you're upset, fine, go protest, walk around. Do your whatever you have to do. But as far as this witch hunt for people and this assumption of who voted for who and who's going to intimidate who's going to slap this one on a school campus, who's going to do this, who's going to drag this one out of their car. You know, when that happens and you start seeing the rioting and the damaging of public and private property, you see that start happening and you start saying to yourself, these people want to continue to escalate this. Where do they think that this is going to go? When the National Guard is finally called in and they are put down by any means possible, then what is it going to be? Trump's? Is it Trump's fault?
You know what's funny is he didn't even do anything yet. All this division and violence and stuff is happening because of people reacting
and
to
that's the states
him being elected.
Too. Although, what do you think? Is this a federal issue when there's riots for the same cause breaking out in different cities? Because it technically crosses state lines. Would you put all of that under the same type of activity? Would that then become a federal issue?
Eventually.
Follow the money.
Because obviously the governors of each state, they can call in the National Guard. But
But now here's the thing, too. Here's what's just hilarious / sad / poetic justice to me. Is that these people expect to go up against the government, right, and fight. And they have already willingly given up their Second Amendment rights.
We brought that up.
Right?
That's awesome.
Okay.
Yes.
So they are a victim of their own policies and principles right now, right?
Yeah.
So that nightmare scenario that pro-Second Amendment people are always talking about, the reason why we need guns, liberals who are against the Second Amendment are in that scenario right now.
Yeah, and the best
will
thing is this.
Will it get that far? Probably not.
Now, here's what...
These motherfuckers won't even stand outside in the rain. I seriously doubt it will get that far.
No, seriously, man. You just said it right there. Well, here's the real irony that they're lost to is that, in actuality, the people who want to keep their guns were very, very well versed in the reasons why we were always meant to have the Second Amendment enshrined second only to our freedom of speech. That's how important it was. So the reason, so the people who understand the historical and the human the human nature side of the reasons why being able to protect yourself, your family, your property, and all that stuff, and self-preservation is your own personal right first and foremost. They're the people who still have the guns, that they're not afraid of the guns. And who are they protecting themselves with? The people who always want to take the guns away and also want to override the system. Well, here they are. They're on the left, but the problem is it's all flipped. It's all flipped
over.
Auto-cannibalization
mm-hmm. of the regressive left. I think it's hilarious, but we'll see. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, you know what I don't understand too is what do they actually expect to get out of it? Like, what do they really think is going to happen if they keep standing outside there and protesting and rioting all the time? Like, do they really expect that someone's going to come out and say, okay, guys, as long as you stop fucking shit up, we'll make Hillary the president?
Yeah, no.
Like, is that what they really think is going to happen? Because they're so used to getting what they want all the time from protesting on college campuses, and this guy said this word, so now we have to get him fired and have him issue an apology. Like, they really think that they're going to be able to do that this time, and they're not at all. And
they're very, very stupid, Scotty.
Yeah, like, let's say they did, right? Let's say, I mean, for, you know, doomsday scenario here. Let's say they did overturn the election, right? Now you just pissed off the other half of the country, right?
They're the ones
that you do not want to piss off. They're not going to riot in the streets. They're not going to break shit. They're going to peacefully march up to Washington, D.C. with a rifle slung over their shoulders, right? Strong side muzzle up. And they're going to say, you have 3 days. We're going to be camping out here. And that's it.
Oh, not only that, but the other thing is, here's another thing that I would say, that if they had their way and the election was turned over because some kids who need to play with Play-Doh to keep themselves calm, and their schools are providing a therapy puppies for them to play with so that they don't go through the day tormented. Mm-hmm. If they actually had their way and the election was reversed, I would then like everybody, all the 65 million people who voted on the other side, to kindly withhold all of your taxes. Withhold all of your money and do not pay your taxes.
Hell no.
Do not pay. Just don't do it. It's over. Take it all away.
I truly do not think that if it had gone the other way, that the other side would have been rioting like that. I really don't think that would have happened.
Yep.
You know, I think it would have been more peaceful, more, you know, in a constitutionally protected, peaceful Second Amendment kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that. I don't think it would have been like it is now.
But I think I think the whole thing here is, if we can just fast forward a couple of months and just see, all right, everything's going to be okay. Everybody's going to
wait till he does something. Wait till he does something to start riding.
So far, what do we know? So far, every time he's been in front of a camera since winning the presidency, he has been calm, collected, mm-hmm. and very, very fair-minded. He is
pretty impressive.
I don't care what people say about the people that he's surrounding him. Already, I like everything that's going on, except Rince Priebus. But whatever he's going to do, we'll see. Like you said, he hasn't done anything yet. The one thing we can also confirm is this: World War III has been averted.
Yes.
Okay, the Kremlin,
that's what people don't understand.
The Kremlin came out just a day or two afterwards and said Hillary Clinton's election would have been very bad news for the world.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that, though.
In so many words, thermonuclear war was almost a certainty. It's what we were trying to tell people. First of all, the problems that we have going on in the Middle East right now is her doing. All of it. Lump it up into one big shit heap. It's her doing, along with a couple other people, but she was head of state. She was the most powerful diplomat on the planet. And what are you going to do? You can't get this through to people because they've been given a script. And the script is Islamophobia, racism, bigot,
sexism,
hateful,
xenophobia.
Sexism, yes. Transphobic, misogynist, trans-misogynist. I mean,
where is the homophobia thing coming from anyway? Like, at least the sexism and racism and homophobia, I can see where they would get that.
Well,
but
I mean,
where is the homophobic thing coming from?
Oh, particularly around the Trump campaign? I don't know. I mean, I they look at Mike Pence
because he believed, you know, he's, you know, he has that 1960s belief about it or something. But
yeah, well, Mike Pence is also, he was in the middle of the whole Religious Liberties Act in Indiana or wherever the hell it was, and
which is not a homophobic thing.
But well, it's spun that way.
It's
the problem here is that when you have special interests and identity politics that goes out and it starts reinterpreting law and punishes people for freely associating with who they want. I know that you people will say, hey, well, you think that we should still allow people to, you know, have segregated bars and this and that, and we no colors allowed and no Irish allowed or anything like this. It's like, no, I get, listen.
I think people are segregating. You would be able to do that
in a free society. People can do whatever the hell they want.
Exactly.
Because if you want no part
of
that,
your business will suffer for it in a capitalist society. Absolutely. Then you change your ways. That's it.
Absolutely. But the thing here is that you're able to start getting a hold of the private sector more and more if you are one of these big government types. You start getting yourself attached to all of these self-identity movements and whatnot, and championing all of them and making every last person their own little Rosa Parks, then of course you're going to be able to start doing things like Bill de Blasio's doing in New York City with being able to fine a business $250,000 for not acknowledging a person's preferred pronouns.
Or for misgendering somebody when you don't even know their
$250,000.
So if you say yes sir to somebody and they're a ma'am, and you work in retail, you can be fined.
See, this is the problem. We need to be able to make stronger people. Anybody who believes in states' rights and all that stuff, and you know, and as far as the whole marriage thing goes, you know what? I think I got something here. I think I have a. Well, I'll do that when you get off, Scotty, because I have to look for that. That'll just waste time. But anything else you want to bring up, man? It's so good to have you on again.
That's about it, man. I think I ranted a little bit, you know. I'm kind of just like fed up with this shit, man. You know, people saying that, oh, a woman lost the election and we lost because of sexism. Hillary Clinton did not lose the election. Hillary Clinton didn't lose anything. She's still a fucking billionaire who has everything she ever
who's never sold a product in her life.
Right?
She's a billionaire with no product or service that she's ever provided in her life. Imagine that. How do you do that? But what? Go ahead.
I was going to say, what lost the election was being able to police people's language and using the law to do it, right? Mm-hmm. What lost the election was this college pussy-ass safe space, politically correct culture where teachers are scared to talk freely in front of their students, all right? And what lost the election was, you know, when you have a certain demographic who happens to be the largest voting base in the country being berated and put down by people for the better part of a fucking decade and just blamed for everything. And you got to sit at the back of the class. I'm talking about straight white males, just in case we haven't figured that out. You got to sit at the back of the class until people of color are done talking. You can't talk and you're a shithead and you're the worst. And all these Huffington Post articles about you need to do this, you need to do that. Whiteness is toxic, blah, 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 blah. If you're straight, you're an asshole. All this fucking shit. That's what lost the election.
Yep.
Right? People are sick of it, and this is what happens. When Van Jones said it was a white lash,
yep,
which I wanted to slap him for, I halfway agree with him. It was that, but not for the reasons he said.
Exactly.
It was because people are fucking sick of being ignored and shoved to the bottom of the fucking pile.
See, but somebody like Van
for
Jones,
for no reason other than some people who look like you did some things hundreds of years ago.
Right. And somebody like Van Jones would never, ever take that as being, it was a white lash because we've been so hard on them and maybe we should have lightened up.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't that. It was a white lash because, oh, there they go again.
Yeah, he said it right after that. It's a changing country and they don't want that.
Changing country? No. You don't understand. Guys, let me just put this out there again, and please, I really hope. I know that this type of a show, this type of content on YouTube, is really not going to be sought after by the largest amount of people, the largest demographic of people that use this platform, which is like people ages 13 to 18. But they're really the ones that need to hear this because they're being just washed over by very, very dangerous teachers, very dangerous news outlets, and their parents are just as dumb as they are. And
Absolutely.
And what needs to really be spoken about here is what diversity in America and what American culture is. Okay, it's not a culture that has a shade of skin attached to it. That's what people want you to think. American culture has to do with individualism. It's not like culture, what you see, like German culture or in Italy where they have their customs. It has nothing to do with white people. Okay, yes, that is the majority, but the culture here is one of individual liberty and limited government so that people could be free. So that people can come from all over the world and have and brought the best of their cultures with them, the best of their work ethics, all of that. They have contributed and they've created this country and they've helped evolve that country. Nobody should be worried about a racial demographic or a majority shifting. That's not what's happened. That's not what people are afraid of. We're afraid of our culture leaving, of us being less exceptional than the rest of the world. That's what we're worried about. And it, you know what? It doesn't do the incoming immigrants any favors either, because they're just going to turn this place into the place that they just left. It makes no difference.
I got to change my pants after listening to that right there. That was great.
Well, thank you, Scotty.
That was great.
No, dude, I've had enough of that shit. The white people are just really scared that they're going to become the minority. Who gives a fuck if we're all American?
It's ridiculous.
But here's the problem.
Obsessed.
What is really happening though? Is it that, the times are a-changing and whites are just not going to be the majority for much longer? Or have we been importing millions? Have we rolled out the welcome mat for millions and millions of people, invited them into an open sanctuary city with welfare benefits that they do not contribute to, but they take out of, and they sit and they squat and they squat and then become entitled and ingrained, and then, of course, you find a way to give them voting rights and this and that.
Yep.
You give them driver's licenses, and all of a sudden, overnight, when you push your agenda and you claim those people for yourself, because, of course, the people who have been importing them are all Democrats, that's what they're doing. They're importing a loyal voting base that does not care anything about the Constitution. They want to create an autocratic system where only their opinion matters, and they have used humans as poker chips to get that done, which is the most obscene part of all of it. But no, we're afraid of a whiteness change. Look at this one.
Absolutely. This is the future of America right here.
That's it.
Just so you guys know.
Hey, buddy.
Scotty.
This is what we fight for. Right
introduce everybody, Scotty.
This is Julian. Say hi, baby. Say hi. Say hi. Wave. Wave to everybody. Don't look at me like that.
Julian.
This is what we do right here.
That's it. We hang out.
I'll tell you what, man. I was afraid that I was going to have to tell him one day about this great country that used to exist called America. And last Wednesday morning at about 3 o'clock in the morning, that changed.
We have a chance at a chance, Scotty. We have to hold everybody, but we have a chance at a chance. It would have been a dark day the other way around, but we have a chance at a chance now.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Dude, all right, thank
you. We're going to get out of here.
Thank you both for hanging out tonight. Can't wait to have you on
so
again.
Much. All right, brother.
All right, man. Take care. Oh, shit. I love Scotty. Love that guy. Man, love you, Scotty.
That's a cute kid, man. Cute kid.
He's a cute kid. What are you going to do?
That's a beautiful clock.
Hey, so everybody, here's some really great news. It's 7:33, so I have to... You know, it's funny. Every time I go to say the thank yous, the 1812 Overture starts. We have a chance at a chance. Let them cry. Let them cry it out.
Everyone's going to pay. Good.
Everybody's going to pay Everyone's now. Kind of makes you horny, doesn't it, Matt?
Anybody who ever disrespected America, you're going to pay. You and your entire country, you're going to pay. And pay big league. Huge.
That would be scary. Imagine the worst, our worst fears come true.
No.
Our worst fears come true. Donald Trump says that to, over the course of 4 years, he says that to at least four leaders. They're going to pay big time.
No, he's going to be good. I have faith in him.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, Gadget Doc, he says, I've learned to hang up on him first. I always...
Actually, you know what? That's true. That is true. Because he's like, all right. He makes his point, and then he's like, all right, I'll say. And then he's the first to go.
Oh, you know what we used to really have a lot of fun doing? Watch this. Hold on. Okay. Watch this. Okay. Now this is just for joke's sake. Didn't happen. Well, I was going to call up Gadget Doc, and I was going to do this old prank that we used to do to each other. We would call each other up. Every once in a while, we'll call up a friend that we know who could handle it. I'll just say, like, I'll ring you. I'll say, you know, ring, ring, and you, hey. And I'd say, hey, Matt, you play baseball? And he'll go, you know, yeah, I've played before. Catch this. And you just hang up on him. Love it. Do it to somebody. Call him up, ask him if they ever played.
I've done shit like that before.
Amazing.
Actually, yo, you know what? I was at some disgruntled lady's house today. I had to remove a sick raccoon from her backyard, and I was like, hey, how you doing? She's like, oh, you know, I'm not so sure. She's like very disgruntled about the election, and like she brought it up. She's like, you know, I don't know what we're going to do about Trump. I'm like, I think it'll be all right. You know, listen, I couldn't tell her, like, you know, I voted for Trump. Like, I really want to leave this sick animal.
I don't know what we're going to do. How about just wake up and have your fucking breakfast? Like, we would have had to done the next morning if Hillary Clinton would have stolen it all away and ruined our future forever.
She gave me a $40 tip, though, for a job that took me, like, literally two minutes.
That's why it's good to never tell people who your true self is.
I'm like, I think we'll be all right. I saw she had a picture of Kennedy. I'm like, oh, Kennedy. I'm like, yeah, you know, he's like the last real Democrat that we... So I told her.
How dare you. Gadget Doc, I think your letter came in, yes. I brought a stack of the letters home yesterday. I'm going to read them tomorrow. I didn't have any time today. But let me get around to this. Everybody, thank you for watching the show and always being here to hang out and being a part of it and just really being a part of the whole cast here. But please go to patreon.com/quitefrankly. Check out, just search for Quite Frankly on Patreon. And consider becoming a 1776 member or a 1984 member. And have some fun with us. I just put out the first vlog today, so that actually worked. So I have to start shouting out people like Jenny Lee and stuff. There's a vlog package and all that stuff to be sponsored there. But I want to thank everybody who has been sponsors, new and old. You guys kick ass, and you really do make this a fun, rewarding experience. So I want to thank you all. Here's your shout-outs. Michael Wells. I'm going to do this with Dayman on. It's not long enough, but still. Oh, yes. For all you Always Sunny fans. This is so awesome. So awesome.
Karate and friendship for everyone. was that?
Mine eyes have seen. So, this is more so for all of our friends, because we are vets together now on this show. We're all vets. We're on the front lines of a different type of war, but we're definitely doing our part in the war effort. Michael Wells, Matt Smith, Nikki Solis, Sean Collins, Rudy Escarcega, Jackie Milam, Andrew Dame, the Great Dame, Christian Peppas, Laura Veras, Max Sancaparato from Colorado, Eric Reitz, Perry and Stacy Little. I'm going to have to definitely have to play some blackjack with them one day up in Mohegan Sun. Rob Corrado. I've got Rob's book right here. I've got to read from this. It's Wednesday, too, so we have nobody coming on after. I can spill over to the 8 o'clock if I wanted to. Whitney McShann. Whitney, thank you so much. So much for your support. And thank you so much for your name. Whitney. Matt DeFabio and Brad Meyer, the co-founders of the 1984 Club, you have made such an impact on this show. Thank you both. Thank you, Brad. Jenny Lee, good girl, bad girl. Kate McCallum, Brian O'Connor, trusted friend and producer of the show. Marianne Hart and her Prairie Cats. And Bren Antilles, captain of Rogue Squadron. Stephanie K. Beauty is the last one I want to talk about. Stephanie K. is a makeup artist from New Jersey who will take you and she will decimate you. You want to be decimated? She will decimate you. She will just bash your face in. Okay, if you ever want to go off and get married and you need your face to be done right for your wedding, go to Stephanie, okay? Just yesterday, she stopped. She gave up doing the best makeup work and face paint and all types of facial creations. She gave all that up yesterday, and she is now in the business of beating up soon-to-be wives. She elbows their faces and beats them up days before their wedding. That's what she's doing now, just days before. What a business. That's it. But there you go. Lawrence Avant is in the chat room. What's going on there? What's going on, Larry? Oh, you know what really got me today? I'll tell you what got me today. Let me see. Where the hell is it now? I started thinking about you. When was the last time, Matt? When was the last time you watched Fantasia, like the original Fantasia? What was it, 1941 or something?
When I was a little kid.
Really?
Yeah.
I have been looking all over for what the hell is it? It's the end sequence. Was it Mozgovsky? What's his name? It goes right into, that's right, Night on Bald Mountain. And he comes out, spreads his black wings of death.
I don't remember.
And he's looking down at this small town, and he's just unleashing just the demons of hell. Just go.
Okay, I remember that.
They just
go. Were they like little fire things? They're little fire.
Little things, little
fire, right?
Little skeleton horsemen that are just flying through the air. Yeah, there's fire, there's demons, there's goblins and all that stuff, and they're just like dancing around. And it was so awesome. So awesome. And it's always hit me hard. And I want to play it on the air, but I can't.
I remember that. That's when Mickey Mouse comes out with all the pail of buckets and shit, right?
Oh, shit. Frankie Castle's with us. You know, it was funny because the other day I was about to say, I should go back and see if Frankie Castle has been on the ZenLive.tv chat room that's still embedded. By the way, everybody, ZenLive.tv is going to be taken down soon. Soon that's going to be forwarded right to Gaslight.tv. So that's whatever. But Frankie Castle is back with us. Haven't seen him since the Switch, so thankfully the word got back to him. Gadget Doc, I did not see. I sent you the article about congressional hearing and a science article. I have not gotten that yet. I'll get around to it. But what did I want to do? Oh, I wanted to talk about that ending. Because, you know, the thing about that ending was it seems so dark and hopeless. And every time I watch it, I get really choked up. Like, you can't find it on YouTube anymore. I put it in my cart on Amazon. I'm going to buy it. By the way, Amazon charged me for Prime, and I didn't ask for it. You know, I wanted Prime, but I didn't have the money to drop an extra $100 on it anytime in the last couple of months. And then all of a sudden, I noticed that I had significantly less money in my bank account, in one bank account. And I said, what the hell is this? And I saw Amazon Prime, $100. So what the fuck? So I had to get a refund on that. But I'm going to get Fantasia, the original one. Not the Fantasia 2000, I want the original. Because I'll tell you something, there's something about that ending there on Bald Mountain when the devil comes out and just unleashes real bad juju all over the mountain town below at the bottom of the mountain. This really quiet mountain town. And you see all these tortured souls and these skeletal horses and skeleton horsemen riding them and just flying through the town, and these somersaulting demons and all that stuff just doused in flames, and it's really unsettling, and you feel this pit, and you feel like there's no way out, and it's just reaching a pinnacle, and then all of a sudden the church bells chime, one chime, and you see this all-powerful demon, this devil, almost like react like he got poked and didn't like what he just felt. And then the bells chime again. And every time it chimes, the demon recoils and gets a little bit more shrunken and, you know, draws himself in a little bit more. And out of all the chaos of the scenes that led up to that point when the bells start to chime, you start hearing very, very slowly the introduction of the Ave Maria and a single file line of, you don't ever see them, but you can just tell it's people holding candles, walking along dirt paths and all around the surrounding of the village and marching toward the village. And eventually, as they just steadfastly, calmly, peacefully walked toward the demon and what he's done to the town below the mountain, they all just recoil and crawl back into the depths from whence they came. And, you know, you can look at that and you can take it from the purely Christian Catholic point of view. But you can also take that as a real snapshot of how people were still able to tell stories and how they wanted to see the triumph of good over evil in very peaceful, serene types of ways, very gentle ways. And I just love that just from all different types of depths, because think about the chaos that's surrounding us right now, from top down, all over the world, just chaos. And what's really going to be at the end of all this? You know? What's at the end of all that? Well, hopefully we just stay, remain steadfast and stay peaceful. We got to be those people with the candles. I really think we're going to be all right. What they say, in the end, it'll be all right. And if it's not all right, it's not the end. So we just got to be very, very steadfast. There's some really good stuff in this book, The Wheel of Time. Admittedly, I haven't been reading. I read the first three chapters or the first three sections all the way through, and then I just keep bouncing around. I have to go back and read because it's very easy to read. There's just a quote on every page. But I'm starting to see the importance of the order. Rob was telling me about it. A rule of thumb for the warrior is that he makes his decisions so carefully that nothing may happen as a result of them, can surprise him, much less drain his power. Yeah. Those who fail to plan should plan to fail, pretty much. Let's see what, I think we just got a call from Gadget Doc. Maybe not. Well, in either case, you know, I didn't read any of this stuff here I had. Trump protesters plan to build a Tea Party of the Left, which I just laughed out loud. Because when you think about this, what is the Tea Party? Okay, yeah, it's a throwback to a very pivotal time in the process, the fight for independence with the Boston Tea Party, but it's an acronym, TEA, taxed enough already. Okay, it was an offshoot to try to once again bring the conversation back to limited government and relieve the burden, the tax burden on people, so that the American spirit and the American economy can really start flying again. And of course, people are free. People don't want, believe me, anybody that says, oh, listen, you want to stimulate the economy, let's just, you know, lower my taxes so I can stimulate the economy. No, it's our money. Believe me, we're not that patriotic, paying taxes, going out there paying taxes, not that patriotic. We know that we can spend that money much better, at least on a federal sense. Let the states do what they want. You want to hire the policemen and the EMS workers and the DPW workers? Fine, we can talk about that on a local level. You feds, go fuck yourself. Gadget Doc, I see that you're Skyping me. I don't know what you're Skyping me on. I see Skype is popping up on my iPad, which is beyond me why that's happening, but not on the computer. So make sure that you're Skyping Zen Live TV. So if Trump protesters are planning to build the Tea Party of the Left, what the hell could that really even be? The Gulag Party. Or even better yet, it's the Bread and Circus Party. That's all it is. The people who are people who identify as Tea Party are there for a very specific reason as far as taxation goes and freedom goes. What the hell could the alternative be? We want tyranny. We want nipples in every mouth. That's it. Nipples in every mouth. Multiple nipples. What's going on, Gadget Doc?
Oh, nothing much. Hey, I put the Fantasia thing in the chat for you, so you'll have the video.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's in there. The other thing, too, look in the producer's chat. I highlighted a article for you.
Do you want to sum it up? While you're
it's
on?
It's basically the government wants to regulate the Internet of Things. So it might take, you could probably go over it. You have a better voice for it in about 5 minutes. The other article I put in there is that there's probably water on Pluto. So really? There's some interesting stuff going on in space, too. I figured that would be just kind of a lighthearted thing.
Fantastic.
Remember that Occupy Wall Street, as we were talking about, was supposed to be the response to the Tea Party. George Soros actually funded Occupy Wall Street in Zuccotti Park as his first attempt of replacing the Tea Party or giving a left Tea Party.
Because he saw the Tea Party making gains in the Congress, and he knew it was going to be harder and harder. So pretty much Occupy Wall Street was a far-left movement that was funded and inspired to try to pull the momentum of the country back toward the left.
Right, but it really was... The thing is, both the Tea Party and the Occupy Wall Street, though they have different ideas as where how strong the central government should be, was a populist movement. And that's so they were kind of working on the same issues, but they had different solutions on to achieve the same goals of increasing people's wages and reducing corruption.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. I'll take a look at this thing right here then.
I'm out.
All right, man. Later. Let me see. He said he put it in the chat. Is it the chat and the... Oh, there he is. Let me see. There's a knight on Bald Mountain. I don't know if this... See, hold on. Let me hear this. Let me see at the end. Wait a second. And the dawn comes. Some kind of a pre-dawn gloom. Let me see. Hold on. You see people all the walking, but... See, but this is not the Ave Maria. That's not the Ave Maria. I don't know. And believe me, I've seen this happen before, Gadget Doc. It's not your fault. For some reason, there are multiple versions, and the only one that really hits home for me is the Ave Maria. I don't know why that I always get screwed. You know, what did I have here? Oh, you know what? Let me just try to find what Gadget Doc was talking about. I'll do that one thing, and I have this other article here. I think that the Gadget... We'll just save for tomorrow. Let me see. So Gadget Doc sent it to me. News government agency proposed regulation. Let me see. Open this up.
A record of the delightful piece they're going to play this evening.
All right, so Gadget Doc has this highlighted for us. Security experts call for regulation on IoT cybersecurity. I'm just going to go to the highlighted parts. During a House committee hearing today, Bruce Schneier, also asks for the establishment of a new government agency devoted to cybersecurity. I knew I didn't like Bruce by his name. Security experts asked lawmakers for more action today during a congressional hearing on IoT security. On their wish list, consequences to manufacturers for delivering insecure products, a federally funded independent lab for pre-market cybersecurity testing, and an entirely new federal agency devoted to cybersecurity. An entirely new agency. The market can't fix this, said Schneier, because the buyer and seller don't care, so I argue that the government needs to get involved. That is a market failure, and what I need are some good regulations. What I need? What the fuck are you talking about? Representative Greg Walden of Oregon, however, noted that in prior cybersecurity-related meetings, experts routinely cautioned them that regulations can lead to organizations misallocating their security resources and agile threat actors quickly changing attack methods. Walden asked, how do we create a national framework where the stakeholders are really driving this in real time and we don't do something stupid like lock certain requirements into statute? This is unbelievable. Yeah, Gadget, I'm going to have to read this a little bit more. Frank Pallone of New Jersey asked if regulation like this, like that suggested by expert witnesses today might stifle innovation. Yes, it will, said Schneier. And I don't like that, but in a world of dangerous things, we constrain innovation. I personally don't like that, like killer robots. I think they're a mistake and we should regulate them. Yeah, but it's also internet regulation that has actually driven wedges into what certain type of telecommunication technology can do. I forgot what happened to telecommunication laws or something. I have to look into the FCC laws that were changed or something, rolled back or something. And immediately we had things like caller ID and all that stuff come out. Because innovation started running wild. Regulation do nothing but, this is it. More people trying to make it a perfectly sterile place to be. Now, I have to read more into this because, obviously, we live in a time where cybersecurity is a very popular topic, and I'm sure there are real things to be worried about. But I am always very skeptical about creating another completely new department and increasing the level of bureaucracy and increasing the level of the potential of corruption and the potential for vital information to be leaked or for any kind of power that the department may assume to be turned into some kind of a political weapon. So I'm going to read a little bit more into this because I'm not dismissing cybersecurity as something that's cockamamie. But I don't like the sound of that right off the bat. What else can we do tonight? Matt, you got anything you want to do before we get off? Anybody at home have anything they want to do? I have some stuff I want to read tomorrow. Wait. You want to watch a little bit of this, the world's great. No, it's not actually doesn't have very high volume, so I wouldn't want to rebroadcast that. Oh, I know what we can do. Let's really calm down. Let's do a little bit more of Norm MacDonald, where we left off with the Hillary Clinton jokes compilation from the 90s. All right, everybody, this is overtime, officially overtime. Favorite Clinton jokes.
He's the guy who killed Vince Foster.
It's a good place to start.
This weekend, veteran news anchorman David Brinkley apologized to Bill Clinton for an election night commentary in which he called the president, quote, boring and uncreative. Admitted Brinkley, there was certainly nothing uncreative about the way you moved Vince Foster's body. The president's a murderer. You didn't know that? This week, in arguments before the Supreme Court, lawyers for President Clinton asked that the sexual harassment suit brought by Paula Jones be delayed until he leaves office. According to Clinton's attorney, quote, if the president were hauled into court every time some nut accused him of sexual harassment, he'd have no time to scare up tail. He like scaring up the tail. 20,000 American troops are on their way to Bosnia, but President Clinton has vowed, quote, this will not be another Vietnam. Adding, for one thing, I won't be in England leading peace demonstrations and cheering on the enemies of our country. President Clinton this week declined an offer by Republicans to form a bipartisan commission to scale back annual increases in Social Security. Asked why he rejected the proposals, the president said, quote, personally, I like the idea of a bipartisan commission. However, the two Chinese guys who gave me $1 million, they didn't go for it. They just didn't like the idea. This week, the White House asked Congress to authorize $175 billion in funds for highway construction, mass transit, and other transportation projects. The president's plan has significant support in Congress, but many Washington insiders are wondering how exactly this benefits China.
Everything has a price
following
on it.
The surprise withdrawal Last of nominee one. Anthony Lake, President Clinton has chosen acting CIA Director George Tenet to head up the agency. Now all he needs is the approval of the House, the Senate, and this Chinese guy.
He doesn't stop. All right, one more.
This week, First Lady Hillary Clinton scoffed at conspiracy nuts, as she called them, obsessed with whitewater, and compared them to cult groups, fascinated by UFOs and the Hale-Bopp Comet. Although she did concede one point of similarity between whitewater and Heaven's Gate, 39 castrated dead people. In an interview this week with Diane
but
Sawyer,
even back then, it was still a big right-wing conspiracy. She was always just the unfortunate doting mother and grandmother who's just surrounded by conspiracy and controversy, but never ever just quite landed on her shoulders. Of course, it all caught up to her, and now she's the unindicted felon that lost the presidential election in 2016. You know, just two more. I love these.
Turncoat Sammy the Bull Gravano revealed that John Gotti once considered trying to buy a presidential pardon for $5 million. According to Gravano, however, he and Gotti were too afraid to get involved with, quote, those kinds of people. Tonight we are proud to present a new feature on Weekend Update, in their own words. As you remember last month in the televised town meeting on kids and drugs, President Clinton moved Peter Jennings and the audience as well when he said, quote, I've received many letters from five-year-old kids around the country telling me that they are frightened and asking for my help. Earlier this week, the White House released the text of some of these letters. Walker D. of Connecticut, a five-year-old child, writes, Dear Mr. President, when the Republicans are finished wasting taxpayer money on their whitewater witch hunt, perhaps they can join you in your efforts to protect Medicare and the environment and to expand the earned income tax credit. P.S., Paula Jones was asking for it. Here's one from Elizabeth A. of Long Island, who wrote, Dear President Clinton, Newt Gingrich is a bad, bad man. Also, Paula Jones was asking for it.
Oh, good right? for him. Good for him. We were still brave. We were so brave. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow, when we lead off, we're going to lead off with this embarrassing, absolutely embarrassing article from a news source, pretty much the blog, whatever. I don't know what it is, LennyLetter.com. I've never seen this website before. But this is such an embarrassing piece. It's entitled, Hillary Clinton is More Than a President. She's an Idea, a World Historical Heroine, Light Itself. You are going to have your cock shrivel up and get sucked into your stomach when you read this. It is so... You want to read a little bit? I know we might want to leave. This is... Mind your genitals, everybody at home. Watch what happens to them. When people told me they hated Hillary Clinton, or far worse, that they were, quote, not fans, I wish I had said in no uncertain terms, I love Hillary Clinton. I'm in awe of her. I am set free by her. She will be the finest world leader our galaxy has ever seen. This was published yesterday, by the way. Okay. I'm already feeling my stomach getting tied into knots. But it's not so much, it's just, I feel bad. I also feel bad that people like this have access to computers and, you know, being able to reach the outside world. I wish in those exchanges I had not asked gentle, tolerant questions about a hater's ridiculous allergy to her. Oh yeah, ridiculous allergy. Or Clinton's fictional misdeeds and imagined character flaws. Fictional misdeeds! That's what murder is, and war-mongering is, kids. That's what destabilization of nations is, kids. That's what peddling of influence is, kids. That's what obstruction of justice and destruction of evidence is, kids. That's what it is. Fictional misdeeds. More deeply still, I wish I had not reasoned with anyone, patiently countered their ludicrous emotionalism and psychologically disturbed theories. I wish I had said flatly, I love her. Oh, you sick little thing. As if I had been asked about my mother or daughter. No defensiveness or polemics. Not dignifying the crazy allegations with so much as a Snopes link, even though Snopes and every fact-checking website out there is worth dick. Especially after this year, they're all worth dick. Depends on how much dick is worth to you. Maybe I love her seemed too womany, too sentimental, too unpragmatic. Oh, yeah, well, definitely unpragmatic. Not coalition building, kind of culty, yes. No, you're right on it, see? But people say with impunity they love Obama. Well, they're stupid asses as well. The state of Israel, their churches, Kurt Cobain. In the end, I wish I'd said it because it's true. Oh, my God. Don't you understand that people that say things like that are sick? I love Kurt Cobain. You didn't know him. I love Obama. You don't know him. Matt loves Ronald Reagan, so I guess there's that.
Well, I'm allowed to because we're both born on the same day.
That's so true. That is true.
We share that, Ronnie and I. I'm allowed to call him Ronnie, too.
You know, because of that. The state of Israel. I mean, who's in love with the state of Israel? When you're talking about international, well, if you're Israeli, you should love your country. I know some people question the right for Israel to even exist. Well, what does it really? I mean, I don't get it. I mean, if you love your church, a church is a congregation of people. That's pretty much like saying you love your family. If you have that kind of a personal connection with your parish or your mosque or your synagogue, whatever the hell it is, your coven. If you belong to a coven of witches, whatever it is, you love it. If you have that personal connection, then what, that's the only one that's plausible. And let's go back to this now. And I'm not alone in my commitment. Millions of Clinton supporters, we were thanked by Clinton's as the secret private Facebook sites. What does that mean? We were thanked by Clinton as the secret private Facebook sites? What are you talking about? Expressed it amongst themselves all the time in raptures or happy tears. With each new display of our heroine's ferocious intelligence, depth, and courage. I was thinking that this was parody up to this point. And then I started realizing, just like we started realizing as the opening of Saturday Night Live dragged on, and the character that plays Hillary Clinton was singing that song, Hallelujah. You realize probably around 45 seconds in, oh, this isn't going to get funny. There is no punchline. We're mourning. We're really just all mourning together, aren't we? As if half of their audience wasn't mourning. As if half of the audience didn't want everything in the streets to be okay and everything just to get, I mean, for fuck's sake. Unbelievable. Yes. Oh, here we go. We were frankly bewildered by the idea that anyone would hedge their commitment to her. You, and then in parentheses, this is such a verbose essay. It's hard to read at times. All the stops and the parentheses and the dashes. In parentheses, you don't have to, this is a quote, you don't have to be her friend. Yes, she's made mistakes. Oh, lesser of two evils, blah, blah, blah. We didn't remember anyone turning to this stock ambivalence when discussing Obama, Babe Ruth, or FDR. The lesser of two evils between Babe Ruth? Lesser of two evils? Barack Obama and Mitt Romney? A lot of people were talking about lesser evils. It always happens. FDR? What are you fucking talking about? We didn't remember? How old are you? We didn't remember this happening with FDR. What are you fucking talking about? Have you been reading newspapers from the 40s again? If only one reporter they knew about us could have published a headline like, quote, Clinton inspires historic levels of adoration from her supporters, end quote, about how the people who had her lives transformed by the power of her brilliant campaign, their lives were transformed by the power of her brilliant campaign. They're crying and crumbling in the streets. They're the weakest people I've ever seen in my life. Historic levels of adoration? Listen, there's tons of Democrats out there who were holding, they're pinching their nose and casting the vote for Hillary Clinton. People who knew how bad of a candidate that she was, how bad of an idea it was to have her as the candidate. There were plenty of them out there in the millions that were holding their nose and pulling the lever for Clinton. But there was no adoration. There was never any energy on the streets, never any energy in your neighborhoods, never any energy at all of the high school cafeterias they tried to have a successful rally at, but failed miserably. There was no energy for her. She was tapping into nothing. She was the face of all of our current problems. The face of it. And all she had left was character attacks and peddling of race baiting, continuing everything that we've been hearing of the last 8 years. That's all she had left. There was no adoration. Stop. Just one headline like that, as she asked in the thing again. Like the ones Bill Clinton got. Of course, she's leaning towards sexism. Usually a legend is made by men and media. The legend of Kennedy, say, or Jim Morrison. And then, much later, a biopic pretending to even-handedness reveals the legend's shortcomings and his human side. This is such bad writing. Listen to this again. Usually a legend is made by men in media. The legend of Kennedy, say, or Jim Morrison. And then, much later, a biopic pretending to even-handedness reveals the legend's shortcomings, his human side. The shortcomings are almost always something exactly no one actually believes compromises his heroism. His problem, drinking. His mistreatment of women. Well, takedowns of Hillary were always written. She has somehow made the time to hear out each dead-end line of reasoning about her fake mortal sins, and often she has also thanked everyone for sparing her further moral lashings, as if it were a kindness. I'm not going to read this anymore. Oh, wait. Just when I thought I had to stop reading, I have to finish the paragraph. Everybody, hold on to your dicks. Hold on to your tits. And ready for the end of this paragraph? Under the cover of humanizing the intimidating valedictorian... talk about her being the valedictorian. Under the cover of humanizing the intimidating valedictorian, because everybody was just so scared of Hillary. In fact, we should be. Reports and investigations and media cliches vilified her. But listen to this last two sentences. But the feminist hero never got to be a legend first. And yet she is one, easily surpassing Ben Franklin.
What?
Henry Ford,
Ben,
and Steve Jobs.
She seriously put down Ben Franklin.
This is the rant. This is the type of stuff that you would find scribbled inside of the diary of somebody that is in Arkham Asylum. But the problem is that these people are employed now by media outlets.
What's the and given jobs. Name that wrote this? Let's see if they're on Facebook. I'm gonna send them a message comparing Hillary. I'm serious.
Virginia Heffernan. She's the author of Magic and Loss. Heffernan.
Oh, like Doug Heffernan from King of
Virginia
Queens.
Virginia Heffernan. Listen to that. Oh, my God. But the feminist hero never got to be a legend first, and yet she is one, easily surpassing Ben Franklin. I almost threw up into my mouth. Henry Ford and Steve Jobs. Ladies and gentlemen, every last one of those great men in American history who deserve every last bit of their due, as well as just as much as all of the great women in American and world history deserve every last bit of their due as well for their accomplishments. Every last one of those men have something in common with each other, Hillary Clinton does not. They created things. They created products, services, ideas, inventions that people actively sought out. Ideas and inventions that created jobs and expanded economies, revolutionized the country. She has done nothing but hijack the influence of the American government to make her private foundation rich. She has no ideas. She never has. She's in the business of regulating the innovators. She is nothing.
Dude, look. This is the a half an hour ago on Facebook. This Virginia Heffernan bitch. She put plan for tomorrow. 1. Wake up, nausea, coffee, strange hot skin. 2. Kids to school. 3. Brain on fire. I'm going to learn to code at General Assembly and do black ops to hack the Trump Association. Also murder people.
This is a
4-hour-long stupor.
Shouldn't have
also
a
murder. I'm gonna send this.
She should have been sterilized. Dude.
Hashtag still with her.
Well, she's gone. She's not qualified to be walking around freely. She needs to be thrown away. And the fact that she has a kid is very, 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 very disconcerting. Very disconcerting. That child's ruined.
Her Facebook's not private. I can send her a message.
Don't
right
do it.
Now.
Don't do it.
You know.
Don't do it.
What's she going to do? I fucking sent the center.
Not about what she going to do physically to you. It's about the kind of problems you can get. Dude, remember, you live in New York. You live in New York. We live in a country where people are fined massive amounts of money because of people feeling attacked. Feelings and accusations are enough to destroy you for lifetimes worth. Lifetimes. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. In fact, you would probably become the poster boy of the next scathing piece that she writes that will confirm, you know, that will only go to strengthen the confirmation bias of everybody we really need to try to wake up in some way. So fighting fire with fire is nothing. You know, that's like trying to... It's ridiculous. Don't even waste your time. It doesn't make anything better. These people are sick. People are sick. All right, 8:23. That was enough for tonight. Everybody in the chat room, you all kick ass. You know what we'll do? I'm going to get out to all of Ben Franklin. You know what? Let's just go into 8:30. Let's go to all of Ben Franklin's accomplishments alone. I have his stuff somewhere. Let me see. History. founding fathers, framers. Oh, here I still have it. Awesome. Things Benjamin Franklin has done. I have such a great bookmark system of resources. Not found, of course. Great. Somebody deleted. This awesome master post with sources. It's been deleted. Fuck. Things Benjamin Franklin has done. I hope everybody's getting elevated at home, getting nice lifted. 11. Gadgetdoc says, check this out. Oh, this is Fantasia with the Ave Maria. All right. Well, then, you know what I'm going to do? This is what I'm going to do, everybody. Because I don't think I'm going to be able to get away with playing this. And I don't want this episode blocked on YouTube. So I'm going to end the episode. I'm going to end it real quick. I'm going to go back on. And I'm going to broadcast me split screen with this, and we'll watch it for 13 minutes. You can leave if you want. It doesn't matter. And I'll delete it right afterwards before it gets picked up by anybody. Does that sound right? I don't think I should even do it. Let's just try to find the end right now with the Ave Maria. Okay, so here, let's go to the bells. Hold on. Oh, Gadgetdoc, this isn't a video. Still beautiful. Still beautiful. All right, that's where we'll end tonight, I guess. I'll let this ring out for a little while longer. See you guys tomorrow night. Matt, thanks for chilling. Yes. Thanks, everybody.